Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Rudy Farias is a case that we've been following now for a little bit more than a week, and I think solely because it's extremely bizarre. It focuses on abuse, child abuse, and it rings to the sound of a lot of other stories that we've seen over the years. Dee Dee Blanchard is one that comes to mind, with a Munchausen by proxy syndrome. There's a lot of possibilities here. We just don't really know all the facts, I guess. And it's still very bizarre to me that as of this recording, mom is still free, or at least hasn't been, I don't know, looked into further. The whole thing is utterly bizarre. It's interesting. Rudy sat down with Fox 26, in Houston and some other reporters just the other day. And they were able to ask him directly, no mediator, no Quinnell X, no police there, just him answering questions of reporters. Stacey, you knew we were going to talk about this morning, and I sent you the link to listen to the interview in its entirety. We're going to be playing pieces back here in just a moment. What were you expecting before you even pressed play?
I was expecting to hear allegations of sexual abuse. I was expecting a very short interview. I didn't realize how long it was. And I was a little stunned that there wasn't a mental health professional sitting there with him, that somehow a reporter, and I don't want to disparage reporters in any way, but that a reporter had full access to him. I feel like, yes, we want the story, but there's something going on here that needs to be dealt with quickly. This is still a child, in my view, even though he's 25, that desperately needs some help. Part of me is wondering, and I don't want to say that I don't believe him. It's not that I don't. But if he was this badly abused, I want to know more about what's going on in his brain before I take his words as absolute fact. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm not, and I want to say this going into it, I'm not necessarily doubting him, but this whole interview seems very, very off.
It does. It feels as though it was, I don't want to say scripted, because I don't think it was, but I feel like there are some statements in there that seem a little too perfect.
It seems a little bit contrived, and I don't know for who or what or why. There are such realizations that he's making in this interview that really shocked me, quite frankly. If you're someone, and everybody deals with trauma differently, so everyone's going to say that out loud. But at the same point, if you're in a situation where you've been captive for that many years, I don't, it just seems that he's very, very aware of his situation.
Yeah.
Extremely aware of his situation. And that sort of a realization doesn't just come about in 7 days.
No, God, no. I mean, for some of us,
it's years, it can be a lifetime. Years. Yes. I mean, if you're talking about where someone is holding you captive and you believe that your captor is the right type of person and things are good, I mean, it takes time, a long time to get out of that. The only thing I can think of is that he's been has had these realizations for quite some time, and maybe, you know, he just finally did take the action to get out of it, which we do see in abusive relationships quite often between spouses, where by the time the divorce actually comes, or the abuser dies in some sort of way, and I'm not saying homicide, but I'm saying where they, you know, they got in a car accident, people that have been in those situations and have already realized what's been done to them, and they kind of have made their peace with it to survive, not always, you know, that, you know, shocked or horrified when the other person is no longer in their life, and maybe already have a lot of those realizations. It's not just taking someone as a captor who knows nothing, because he did seem to know a lot. Anyway, you'll see what we're talking about. This is going to be a two-parter here this morning. We're going to go through a good portion of this interview and different questions that were asked. Again, this is from Fox 26 Houston. The first question that was asked of, where have you been, Rudy?
Just at home. Just stuck at home, you know. If somebody would come over, my mom would just tell me, stay in the room, you know. Keep the door locked. Don't let them in. Don't make any sounds. Don't do anything, you know.
Tell us about what it was like living there. Were you allowed to leave the room? Was she holding you there against your will?
She never, like, locked me in or, you know, like, handcuffed me or anything like that. You know, I had free will to leave. It's just, it just felt like brainwashing, honestly. Like, just, it just kept confusing me, just the way, you know, she would manipulate me into saying, like, oh, you're going to get arrested because you have a speeding ticket or something, like something minor, something innocent. And then it would just, and then it would just kind of escalate into just people just, sorry.
You're good.
Which is,
take your time.
Yeah, it just escalated from there, from, you know, just wanting to get away from home, just be free, live my own life, arguing all the time. And then we eventually just went into just, she locked me in there pretty much mentally, just that she was my only parent. She was the only person I ever really had besides my brother. So when I lost my brother, I didn't have anybody to teach me how to live, you know, how to have confidence or trust in myself or anything, you know. So I just depended on my mom all my life.
Okay. Thoughts on that?
You know, at one point he brings up Stockholm syndrome, and and I get that. And I looked it up just to make sure I was getting the definition correct. Yeah. It's psychological response wherein a captive begins to identify closely with his or her captors, mm-hmm. as well as their agenda and demands. Now, it sounds like when his brother was alive, that might have been his safe space. And I don't know what their relationship was. It seems odd to me that there was somebody else in this situation that knew what was going on and didn't do something about it. But again, maybe they were sucked into it. We don't know that brother's side of the story. He's no longer with us. I'm more confused than I ever was.
Well, one of the big things I'm confused, like this so isolated picture that he paints, and that's been painted. He got a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to work every night for 8 hours or whatever.
Did he ever say where he was working or what he was doing?
He worked with his mom at a security job overnight, and she paid him $60 a week for going and working all that time with her. So, and there's other accounts here of a lot of other social interactions that this kid has had over the years. There are people that have reached out to reporters who were friends of his in prior years, rooting for him. So the narratives don't match up. I'll say that.
No.
The narrative of being captive, being stuck forever, that kind of seems to be sold to us in his room all the time. Not so much. I mean, yeah. I mean, are you in your room a lot when you're at home and you're a teenager? Most teenagers are. But obviously there was abuse going on. I don't doubt that. But I am starting to wonder, from age 18 to 25, 7 years, that with this level of awareness of his surroundings and the world and what he speaks of, and you're going to hear more from him, that, I don't know, that he didn't understand. He seems to understand this pretty well. I just don't seem to, I don't know if I could buy that he was that unaware of his mother and what she was doing, especially by that age. I can see younger not being, or being a little more confused, but to have, to be able to speak about this this well 1 week after being found.
Oh, yeah. I would be like, balled up in a corner.
This sounds like somebody who's had realizations for the last 3 or 4 years, and now we're doing a retrospective. What was it like? Now, he could be simply just trying to speak, and he's only kind of telling half-truths as a means of survival. He's probably still working through a lot of things in his mind as well. And some things may be kind of coming out, and maybe not the whole thing may be coming out. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I don't know. I'm just, it just feels that there's something off. When asked, what have you been doing? Here was his response.
Trying to study the best I can online, you know, understand how the world works, you know, understand different cultures, different religions, different everything. Because my life, I just believe that we should stop putting labels on everything and just understand the communities and the prosperity and the growth and the positivity, because there's just too much fighting. There's too much anger. There's too much depression and mental health problems in the world. We just need to spread more positivity, because all of it, everything around us, it's just, it's an algorithm that they control through the social media and through the colors and just everything. You know, like if you see something white, like a white wall or a white pillowcase or a white car driving around the place, you know, you'll just understand that, like, you're just trying to have a positive thought, and then you'll look at something white and get sidetracked, and you'll get distracted about stuff and things, and then you'll find stuff like a pink wall or something, or pink whatever, and then you'll just be reminded of, you know, somebody trying to help you, prosperity, you know, just somebody loving people. And red, people confuse that for anger or hate, and it's only anger or hate, these type of things, if you look at it that way. You know?
So he kind of goes on a bit of a tangent of colors.
A little bit.
When asked, you know, what have you been doing? There was no talk of, you know, trying to get out of here, or it's like trying to, like, basically do community outreach and concerned with society as a whole right now. A weird answer to say when you're talking to someone who's been held captive, supposedly for the last 8 years.
Can I interject something? And I, forgive me for if this sounds naive in some way, but if he had free will to leave and he chose not to, did his mom do anything wrong other than just be a really bad mom?
Well, the mental abuse, and if there's physical abuse, yes. But we just don't know what that all was exactly.
And can we prove any of it? What if he's got a very vivid imagination and none of this ever took place?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. And that's, I think, what we're trying to figure out in a lot of this. Because his own accusations now that he makes, or actually lack thereof, do not correlate so much with Quinnell X, who we heard all of those stories from that first day, and her, and saw his, you know, tears, talking about everything that was happening. It's, that doesn't add up at all. So I don't understand why an activist would be making things up. And I don't necessarily think he was. I'm almost wondering if you get different stories from Rudy, depending on the day and time and who you are talking to him.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't mean that you're disparaging him in any way, but there could be mental illness here where there's an alternate reality.
Yeah.
I have a family that is full of mental illness, and some of the shit they come up with, it was like, what reality are you in? Because none of that happened. Well, I was there.
You could have a splitting of the personality here as well, where, you know, what have you been doing? He didn't talk a thing about what he was doing. Other than going online. and reading about religions and society. And that may right there be an example, an evidence of he feels shame about what was going on and what he was doing. And he's not necessarily going to talk about it, but he's going to talk about other things as if things were completely normal. And I'm not saying shame as in he was doing something wrong, but right. more so shame for the situation that he was in. A lot of times, if you're the one being abused, you feel the shame. And that's what I'm wondering, because that answer was so off from what one would expect that it almost feels like it's something being covered up, but don't look at it in the way of like malicious covering up. I'd say look at right, it more in the exactly. way of survival covering up. Like if I start talking about this, I'm going to self-destruct because it's so painful. That could be another way of looking at it. When asked what mom was doing to keep you locked
in. Just every time I would try to leave or, you know, try to do things for myself, like I want to go get my own money. I want to go work a different job. I want to do this and that. They would always just come right back around to just don't do that, or it's bad, don't do that, you know, like, cops are gonna come out, they're gonna do this, they're gonna arrest you if you're driving the car without a license, or this and that, and just...
Which is true, they yeah. should anyway. I mean, some of the things he's pointing out of, like, don't do this, don't do that, like, I've heard my mom do that and say those exact same things. That's kind of what a lot of moms do, and some go way over the top. I'm not defending an abusive mother by any means, but what he's describing at this moment is not necessarily that crazy.
Like, oh, how do you expect me to get a license to drive a car if I can't even go out? All I do is work 12-hour shifts 7 days a week and I get $60. Like, I don't understand how that's fair.
Why do you think she wanted to keep you hidden?
I don't know. It all started just because I had a speeding ticket. I went like 70 and a 55 trying to go to work. And then when that all started, it's just like I wasn't able to have a life. I was starting to start working and growing and, you know, provide for myself. And then after that happened, I couldn't do it.
Oh.
Do we have a mom here that is paranoid and something bad happened to him and she envisioned how much worse it could have been? He was going 70. He could have gotten into an accident. He could have died. Yeah. She freaked out and just locked his ass down.
Well, I think that you could have that with untreated mental illness. Her, the dad's not there in the picture. Or he died. He committed suicide. The brother, also dead. Could this be a mother who is suffering from a mental illness and is also extremely afraid of losing the one person that she has left, which in turns to making those sort of very unhealthy relationship mm-hmm. moves with her child? And I'm not saying anything sexual, because even Rudy says nothing sexual happened.
Right.
But something where you're very much looking at your child and you're putting certain responsibilities and certain expectations on them that you would a spouse, where it becomes a very unhealthy type relationship. He was asked,
you know, she's lost everything. She's got post-traumatic stress disorder. She's lost her husband. She's now lost another son. And she's probably staring at him going, you're all I have left. Whether that's right or not, that's not for us to judge, but that might be what she's thinking.
When asked, why did your mom lie about you missing for 8 years? This was his response.
And that's the thing. When it comes to the real small details like that, I don't remember. It's like it just blocks it out. Like she's blocking it out for me or something. It's like I just want to remember the facts. I just want to understand, you know, who I am and what I'm trying to do, and just try to live my life the way I want to, not how she wants me to.
Were you questioning your mom? Like, mom, why am I doing this?
Yeah, I would always ask her stuff like, when am I going to get a job? When am I going to have my own car? When am I going to be able to make my own decisions? When am I going to be able to just go out and be free? Like, why can't we just go to the police station? Why can't I just get a lawyer? Why can't I just do that? And she's like, oh, you can't get a lawyer because it's too much money. We can't do that because it's too much money. Everything was always just money, 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 money. It's a constantly money.
If you had to guess why she was doing this, was she making money from you being missing, as far as you know?
I don't know. I think somebody at one point mentioned something about an original GoFundMe page. And then my mom wanted to say something about, like, one of my aunts or something was like stole all the sodas or something. Meanwhile, where's all the money that they raised, you know, like, and where did that go to helping find me?
Very bizarre.
Why did he need a lawyer?
Well, and why would you be going with your mom to get a lawyer, an attorney? That would assume to be to go after your mom, I would think. Unless he's speaking of some other reason, why would he need an attorney or a lawyer or someone else?
I don't, that's where the disconnect happens for me. Is there a piece of this puzzle that we just haven't been told? And not that we're entitled to know it, but I just feel like there's something huge missing.
I don't know. I mean, here's the deal. As much as we can look at Rudy and go, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? He was raised by this person for his entire life. Mm-hmm. And if this person is a compulsive liar, and God knows what else is going on there, and this is your only source of knowledge and learning and trust and all of that, the likelihood that you could grow up to be just as much of a liar, or if not better, dramatically high, very high odds of that. Now, is Rudy lying or making things up? I don't know. As far as I know, no. But we don't really have a whole lot to substantiate any of this from either side. So it is interesting. The tone of the interview is interesting. I did find the wavering voice through 100% of this interview to be, I don't know, a bit dramatic. And people are going to, oh, he went through this and that one. Yeah, but I get it. But there's this people that are, I've heard from many people, gone through a lot of trauma and such. And when recounting, it comes and goes. It comes in certain places because there's certain things that are triggering that are very, when he's just talking about colors and the world and this or that, same sort of tone as if he was talking about the mother locking him down. It's the same quivering type voice. You may remember another person who had a same quivering type voice in trial for quite a while and could turn it on like that. Alec Murdaugh. And that and what I'm going to guess is the mom knew how to turn that on pretty well. It might be a skill that he learned from her. When people are talking to you and you're trying to elicit some, form of empathy. And he may be completely entitled to it. It's just so weird.
The whole thing is just bizarre. I wonder if we're ever going to learn the truth. And again, we're not entitled to the truth. It's his story.
Yeah.
But I hope at some point we get some idea, because it's sitting in my head. I keep thinking of him like, was he horribly abused, or is she just a really shitty mom?
Or both.
Yeah.
Where there's a combination and the truth lies somewhere in the middle of all of this. I don't know. And I think the public is entitled to the truth on this. It's not just private anymore. And that became not so private when this went to the public and money was asked for. And the police and public were spending their resources on this for 8 years. So the public does have a right to know what the hell is going on. What did we just spend our money on? And what exactly is the state of these people, and should this woman have anything to do with children? Obviously, this is not a child. He's 25 years old. So it's not like he has to go back and live with her by any means. But there's more questions. Rudy talks about the sexual contact accusations. If he wants to see his mom, again, asked about him being held captive by mom, the role that he played. Also, what he would say to someone who thinks that he may be full of it. He even answers that question. We'll have that for you in the second segment of Murder in the Morning here for you in just a bit. Press subscribe so you do not miss this continued episode of Murder in the Morning. Stay close.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.